The first reading is in Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm is in 27, 1 through 13, read responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom then shall I be afraid?
When evildoers came upon me to eat up my flesh,
it was they, my foes and my adversaries, who stumbled and fell.
Though an army should encamp against me,
yet my heart shall not be afraid.
And though war should rise up against me,
yet will I put my trust in him.
One thing have I asked of the Lord, one thing I seek,
that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life,
to behold the fair beauty of the Lord,
and to seek him in his temple.
To behold the fair beauty for in the day of trouble he shall keep me safe in his shelter.
He shall hide me in the secrecy of his dwelling, and set me high upon a rock.
Even now he lifts up my head
above my enemies round about me.
Therefore I will offer his dwelling and oblation with sounds of great gladness.
I will sing and make music to the Lord.
Hearken to my voice, O Lord, when I call.
Have mercy on me and answer me.
You speak in my heart and say, seek my face.
Your face, Lord, will I seek.
Hide not your face from me,
nor turn away your servant in displeasure.
You have been my helper, cast me not away.
Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
The second reading is in Philippians 1, 12 through 14, 19 through 30. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest of that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. For I know that through your prayers and help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will return out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether my life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. yet which I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for the progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I am here of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should be not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, 'You, go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, 'Why do you stand here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first.' And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat.' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last workers as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last.' This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Well, grace and mercy and peace be with each of you from God our Father and Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. We have a very, very, very generous God, don't we? Yeah. There's a story about a young man. He had worked really hard. He put himself through college.
got accepted into graduate school, earned his law degree, passed the bar exam, and was just waiting for the money to come. His father, who loved him dearly, came up to him and said, "Well, son, I'm so proud of you for all your hard work. I'm curious what kind of gift I should buy you." Well, the young man didn't really have to think too hard. He said, "Well, I need a car." You see, in this particular family, the father was very rich, but he wanted to have his kids learn good work ethics, so he never helped his son with anything. He made him pay for his own education, right? And so most of the time, he never had a car. Well, he never had a car. Every place he went, he was either walking or he was riding on his bicycle. So it was really an appropriate ask. Well, the day of his celebration came and all the family was there together. And his dad comes up to him and says, "You know, son, I'm so proud of you." And he hands him a shoebox. The son is beside himself. "I was really expecting a car, and here you give me a shoebox." And he was so mad, he threw it down. And he just stomped off and he goes, "You know, my dad, that old man, he made me work so hard, and he's going to give me a pair of shoes." Well, he kind of cooled off, and a couple weeks later, he decided to go through and open up his gifts. And when he opened up the shoebox, what did he find? Car keys. A Corvette. Woo! His dad wanted to make sure that his son would be well taken care of, right? And he went way beyond what he probably should have done. Beloved people of God, God chooses to be the one that always comes and always invites and always gives. In this parable of Jesus, God is the one that invites. He goes, tells the story of the owner that goes out into the vineyard looking for laborers to work. And the invitation is extended to quite a few. And you see, it was more than just going out to work. This owner of the vineyard, he was looking at each one and he's going like, "You know, this person, now they can feed their family because they have a job, right? This one will probably never be naked or go homeless because, again, he's got a job." And so what he was trying to do, the vineyard owner, was to show people that you are of worth. Because you know how it is in our world today. Those that don't work are kind of called what? Worthless. What Jesus is telling us in this parable is work is valuing somebody. Telling these people that they are of value. Now, a number of years ago, my dad, he decided that you boys are going to learn how to work hard. So he planted raspberry bushes. And they were probably, the field was probably as big as this whole room. You know what I'm talking about? Lots of raspberries. Oh, man, we got up early in the morning and we worked till sundown and we just couldn't keep up. And so what we did is we put a plea out and we called, my dad used to work for a bunch of nuns and they were very happy to come and pick. And I was never so excited to see a van load of nuns pull in. I was like, woohoo, right? But it was a lot of fun working in that vineyard because these relationships just were fluid. We got to know each other really well. You see, God always wants to invite us to the vineyard of relationships. Isaiah 5, he talks about God's beloved people, the Israelites, as taking care of the vineyard. In other words, inviting people to the vineyard. That invitation to work, that invitation for relationships. In a sense, what he was trying to tell us is that eventually that's going to be the Christian church, the community of faith. The vineyard of God. You see, God's invitation to people is always that gift of faith, right? That gift of faith. And if we have the faith the size of a mustard seed, what can we move? Mountains. But in Matthew's gospel, he's really looking even beyond faith, and he's really looking and trying to tell us that it's more than faith, it's really more about eternal life. You know, when people come into the church, there's really no duration time, right? You know, like you don't have to belong to this church for 20 years to become a member, right? You can just come and you can join. Whatever age you are welcome. And we give you all the privileges, right? And that's pretty exciting, I think. What's interesting in our gospel today is Jesus takes this parable about inviting people, but then he puts a twist on it about how we as Christians often how we often treat other people not in the best way. Sometimes we treat people like the world wants to treat them. Beloved fellow laborers in God's vineyard, God has chosen to invite us into this relationship with him and other people. But he also looks for our choices that we make. How are we going to be responding to that invitation? It can either be good or it can be bad. One of the authors that I like reading, her name is Lewis Hay, and she's written all kinds of books. And people are like, man, you got a creative mind. How do you write all these books? She said, you know, it's really pretty simple. I just did the next thing in front of me and helped out where I could, and it just happened. In other words, she put herself out there just willing to do something and let God help her. I wonder how many people have wasted their time in waiting for the big thing. Waiting for the big thing. You know, maybe they have a talent of drawing, great artist, or maybe they're a musician, they're very good at music. But they just never seem to get it done because they're waiting for the big thing. We know that life just doesn't work out that way, right? There is no big thing. It's just a series of a lot of little things that add up to big things. When I was in high school, I graduated, and I was so excited about graduation because my senior year was awesome. I had been involved in all kinds of things, all the sports, all the plays, all kinds of things. And I really had a great year. I really felt I really stretched myself and I grew. And my music teacher gave me a plaque for my graduation gift. And I thought, well, this is pretty nice because I worked especially hard for my music teacher. And when he opened it up, the plaque said this: I may not do great things, but I can do great things in a small way. I have to be honest with you, I was rather hurt when I read that. I'm going like, hey, I did a lot of great things. I had a great year. But he was right. No, I did a lot of great little things that added up to the big thing, right? What about you? What big things have you been waiting for before you decide to give it all to that project that you've been just avoiding? What things have you been putting off? Are you afraid to take a risk? Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want to start a business. Maybe you want to go to further schooling. Maybe you want to deepen your faith in what we call discipleship, right? Really get into it and really stretch yourself and grow. Maybe you want to grow your church. You know, you guys are a mission church. We're a mission church, right? We just have to work at growing, right? Am I putting it off? Maybe you want to get involved in some missionary work. You're going to hear about some opportunities. God's invitation to you tonight is to just take and be willing to take that next step. And then see what our inviting God, the one who always comes, what he can do. It's amazing. More specifically, pardon me, Jesus' parable of the invitation is our willingness to work, and it's always our willingness to work with others. And I wish you could see my picture. Can you kind of see this? Who do I got on there? Minnesota Vikings, right? I mean, they assemble every year. Their goal is to win their division and then the Super Bowl, right? They're all going to partake in the sacrifice and the reward. That's the goal, right? Well, we know that that is what you need to do. You gather, you work together, you're going to reap the rewards together. And so the other side of our choices is when we make that decision to be that way, is that we reject those unhealthy attitudes and behaviors, right? You know, the Vikings, they play tomorrow, right? Their backs up are against the wall, right? They really need to win. But if they don't win, they're not going to be like trashing each other, right? They're going to do their best for the next game. And can anybody tell me what this is? It's a hand. It's a Viking fan. No ring. I'm just thinking, please, in my lifetime, we just won Super Bowl. Huh? Yeah. In this parable, it emerges the laborers. Some are really upset because they've been out in the vineyard working all day. And they've got these other people that they just worked a short time. And see, this is where Jesus looks at the parable and he looks at us and he goes, ha-ha, see? This is where I'm going to expose to you the destructive attitudes, the jealousy, the positions that you might have, and keeping score. Listen again to what the gospel said. Now, when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, these last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat. But he replied to them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for 1 denarii? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this last worker as I gave to you. You know, when you hear this, it makes sense, right? But sometimes in the church, we get challenged by this. You know, and you have a bunch of new members that join, and they might want to change things. Whoa, hey man, we've been here longer than you. Why are you suggesting this? Or an outsider comes, right? They move into your community. Do you invite them? I've had the opportunity to work at several churches, and I always like starting out there because I'll say, by the way, got a question for you. Whose church is it? Ooh, that's the right answer. God's church. I've heard people say, well, it's pastor's church. I go, no, 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 no. It's God's church. And you and I are the body of that church. A number of years ago, Rick Warren wrote a book called The Purpose-Driven Church. In other words, we all have a purpose. We are, first of all, to call to reject those attitudes and behaviors that do not testify to God as the author of all good things. God just wants to give, right? And God's love is always a free gift to everybody. What scorekeeping and comparison miss is a privilege of what it means to be called into God's vineyard. I really love talking to different churches and their ministries because people get excited. They go, you know, I really went out of my way. I went beyond to help these people. And you know what, Pastor? I went there to minister, but I found that I was ministered too. That's how it works. You extend, you take the chance. God is there. You're going to find that you get blessed in ways that are unbelievable. That's why jealousy, position, and scorekeeping are, quite frankly, not even part of the kingdom of God. Beloved people of God, this parable is about, finally, about God's great generosity, about giving and giving and giving, and loving and loving and inviting and inviting. There's a story, and maybe you've even seen the movie, because they made a movie out of it, The Boy in the Bubble. Do you guys ever see the movie, The Boy in the Bubble? This guy's immune system was such that he could not be out in the world. He lived in a plastic bubble. So his food, his drink, if he wanted to read something, everything had to be sterilized, and they would give it to him. And it was okay, but you know, it wouldn't ultimately protect him. And sure enough, he caught a bug, and it was going to take his life. And they asked him, what do you want? What can we give you? He said, I really want to touch my father's hand. I really want to touch my father's hand. And he did. He knew what the outcome would be, right? You know, we all have an incredible longing for the human touch. And that led that boy to reach out to his father. But how many of us have put God in a bubble? The eternal longing of God is to reach out and touch us, right? Jesus was sent as that person that would touch us. And he knew the consequences, right? It would be his death. But God's generosity was so great that death itself has become God's eternal touch. You see, Jesus is the first and the last. And so we put our trust in him and we share the touch of God with whoever we meet. So the question that we are challenged with tonight is, have you been touched by God's heart? God wants to reach through the bubble of our own skepticism, and he wants to give us this gift of faith. This living God would reach outside the bubble of our daily monotone and touch us and let us know that we're loved, and that we will get to spend our lives in eternity. Yeah, God's love wants to reach out to you and to me and to take the pain and the heartbreak, the challenge that seems at times to be so overwhelming in order to give you and I hope. When we have felt this reaching touch of God, I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm going to begrudge anybody anymore, because life is just too short. You see, eternity is God's gift. Let us never get in the way of this gift to others by our jealousy, our position, or our scorekeeping. As God has given you and me this wonderful gift of faith, Let us pray that God will touch the lives of those whom we meet and those that we don't know. And let us tell them about the great generosity of God. Amen. I invite you to join with me in singing, Almighty God, Your Love Is Cast. I invite you to please rise and let us confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, you have called us from among the peoples and nations of the world to be your own, and to serve you with our lives. We pray that you would keep us steadfast in faith. May we sing your praises and confess Christ as Lord. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give you thanks, O Lord, for the gift of the seasons. As we move into the season of autumn, may we find delight in the changing landscapes around us that reveal the beauty of your creation. May we be reminded of your never-failing presence in all seasons of our lives. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, source of all good things, make us respond to those around us with the same generosity that you have first shown to us. Let us put our complete trust in you alone. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, pour out the heat. Healing grace of your presence on all those who are sick and suffering, especially those we name now, either silently in our hearts or aloud.
For Dale.
Restore wounded lives, hearts, and bodies by the holy anointing of your Spirit. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.